We had a Christmas party a couple weeks ago, and it was pretty fun, wasn't it? There's a skit that the kids put on, and one of the characters in the story reminded us that Joseph didn't get many songs written about him, did he? I mean, the angels had songs written about him. Mary had songs written about her. She's got like one, you know, Mary, did you know? I want to write a song, Joseph, did you know? It's pretty funny. There's that one line in there where Joseph says, in the skit, where Joseph says, "Will there be songs written about me, Angel?" And after a dramatic pause, Angel says, "Lots of songs will be written," which is actually hilarious. But maybe you didn't think so. Maybe it's Nate Bargatze, the guy that originally like that came from. His dramatic pause is way better. I want you to imagine for a second writing a song about Joseph, though. Like, think about it. Like, what would you say? What would you write about if you were to write a song about Joseph? What would you put in there? Like, if you were to look at the story of Jesus' birth through Joseph's eyes, you know, we look at it through the shepherd's eyes or Mary's eyes or the angel's eyes, but why not Joseph's eyes? Think about that for a second. What would you do? How would you come to some lyrics? One of the things you'd want to do as you were to tell the story of Jesus' birth through his eyes, would you want, you know, to get a, you know, good song lyrics, just lyrics you can relate to, right? And one of the things you'd want to do is you even would want to find something in Joseph's story that is relatable to everybody. There's one thing that you probably could relate to if you were to, you know, pull out of, extrapolate from Joseph's story as you imagine his life and his coming to find out that he would become the father of the Messiah. And that is you can imagine that Joseph would have imagined his life to be a lot different than the way it turned out. Like, here is this young guy, maybe 18, 19, 20 years old, engaged to this girl who's a few years younger than him, several years younger than him. And he's been apprenticed to be a carpenter, or he's in the midst of being apprenticed to be a carpenter. And he, you know, maybe just imagines this very humble and obscure life, just, you know, swinging a hammer and putting stones in place and building homes and raising a family. But if you know the story, is that what happened for this guy? One of the things that's helpful about Christmas is that it reminds us that that God often brings good into our lives through unexpected events and unexpected ways. In Joseph's life, God intended and brought about incalculable good to the world. Like, you can't calculate the good that God is bringing into the world through this unexpected turn, this course of David or Joseph's life. What we see here is that God often calls his people to shoulder responsibilities that we don't choose, or that his people have not chosen. But through these responsibilities and through a change of course of our life, something we didn't imagine, God brings his salvation and his glory into the world. Let me show you this as we look at the story of Joseph, well, the story of Jesus through Joseph's eyes. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. So I'm going to invite you to turn there with me to Matthew chapter 18. And if you're able, I'd love you to stand with me as we read this passage. Sorry, not Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 18 through verse 25. So Matthew chapter 1. verse 18 through 25. These are God's words. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray again together. And so, Father, as we journey through this story here, we ask now that you will illuminate this word to our hearts, that not one of us will leave unrescued by the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask too, Lord, that you will make the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts here pleasing to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Well, I want you to focus in on one of the verses here in this passage that serves to be a little bit of a, you know, one of those texts, one of those verses that the rest of the narrative hinges upon. In other words, the story is going one direction, or it appears that it could go one direction, and then the story has this pivot, this turn, in which it heads in a different direction. And that verse is verse 20, where it says, while Joseph considered these things. This little phrase symbolizes two different directions that Joseph's story, at least from a human vantage point, through human eyes, could have taken. This moment, this little phrase symbolizes two different directions that Joseph's story could have gone, at least from a human perspective. Very often, God burdens us with a destiny that we didn't ask for, which is what we have already begun to highlight this morning. In Joseph's case, he would have expected to be the natural father of his firstborn child. That would have been his expectation. As he was betrothed to this young woman, he would have expected that just like he was saving himself for her, and to bring children into the world with her, that she would be saving herself for him to bring children in the world that were sired or that were fathered by her husband, Joseph. But we read in verse 18 that this is not how the early years of Joseph's and Mary's life would have gone. Instead, it says that when Jesus' mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child. Before they came together. Found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Let's pause for a moment and think about this. Think about being a young man. That may have never been you, and that may never be you, but try to put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a moment. You've got a young, kind, lovely, godly, young Christian woman all locked up. You've got all the excitement in the world as a young person. You can see that she respects her dad, that she looks at you like you could conquer the Roman Empire with your boys. And then about halfway through your engagement, you find out that she's pregnant. Just put yourself in this guy's shoes for a second. And you have honored God by barely touching her. Because you know that there's a pathway to that moment when you'll be able to be with her. But you're honoring the Lord, and you're honoring his character and who he is by seeking to live that out in your own life, by honoring him with what you do with your body, with what you do with this beautiful young girl that you love, and you're waiting. And you're excited. And then all of a sudden, you find out she's pregnant. And you know this is not your child. In that situation, what would you do? If you were Joseph, what would you do in this situation? At this point, if you're in his shoes and you're in ancient Israel, you have an option. You have a couple options on the table. One is you could, go to the elders of your community, and you could let them know that this has happened, and you could, make this public. And you want to make this public because you don't want there to be any scandal around your life. This is already scandalous enough for you. But you don't want this, you don't want this to affect you forever. And you decide to make this public that this has happened. And then you, relatively speaking, you have this like public divorce that everybody knows about it. You break off this engagement to her. Unlike now, there was a little more legal status apparently that came with engagement in this time of history. And so you decide, you start to consider these things. Your heart, you're reeling and you're upset unnaturally and you're frustrated. And that could be one course of action that you could take. And you would be just in doing it. And then you're thinking about this and you really like this girl and you really don't want to punish her. And you really don't want her to be, the word will get out and it's going to be humiliating, but you don't want to like make it worse. You don't want to add to this. And so what Joseph did in his story, the story that actually happened to him, was he decided to break it off, but to try to do it in a quiet way so that it would be maybe a little just less awful of a situation because it was already bad. And this could maybe help a little bit. And so we read in verse 19, Mary's husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. And Matthew highlights a couple things here that we want to see about Joseph. We see an aspect of his character, and we see part of that character is that he was a decisive guy, at least decisive enough to come up or to begin to come up with a plan here and what to do here in this, what from his perspective was an awful situation, worth breaking off this marriage for. At this point, he's truly decided he doesn't want to be married to her. And he's not wrong for that. Matthew highlights that he is just. But he's also unwilling to put her to shame. Instead of revenge, he chooses a merciful avenue. J.C. Ryle highlights, he says, the conduct of Joseph described in these verses is a beautiful example of godly wisdom and tender consideration for others. He saw the appearance of evil in her, who was his espoused wife, but he did nothing rashly. He waited patiently to have a line of duty made clear. He was deliberating what that line of duty was. And boy, did that line of duty become clear. While Joseph may have still been reeling about his hopes being dashed, God had a plan in store that was going to bring Joseph's life and his story into a far bigger narrative than he had ever imagined. Mary hadn't cheated on him. She hadn't done what he imagined that she had done. While asleep, a messenger, an angel of the Lord, came to Joseph in order to make clear to him what in fact was going on. It says that while he was considering these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Do you see what happened? The Holy Spirit had caused a miracle to happen within her womb. And Matthew wants us to see why all this was happening. In verses 22 through 23, He puts an interpretive, almost an aside, a little parenthesis of why all this was happening. It says, as this took place, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, all this was happening in Mary's life, in Joseph's life, because God had a great plan in store. This was way outside of Joseph's box, but this was a plan of redemption that God had. Mary's virgin conception of Christ was a vital part of Jesus' life, fulfilling all of the stories, all of the prophetic witness in the Old Testament. And this was a piece of the puzzle that Isaiah 7 had said, that the prophet Isaiah had predicted that a young woman, a virgin, would conceive and bear a son. And they would call his name Emmanuel. And this happened so that the people throughout the country of Israel and the chroniclers of the story, like Matthew here, would hear that this had happened, that a young virgin had indeed given birth. And this would have been like a magnet pulling people's attention to the life and the story and the teaching and the miracles and the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be compelling to them to give their attention to him. And ultimately, their faith and their loyalty that God in this young man was fulfilling all of his promises. Joseph, though, is still an important piece of the puzzle. This virgin birth didn't just need Mary. It also needed Joseph. Joseph descended from a line of kings. Joseph was descended from a line of kings. And by taking this baby as his very own child, he did not sire this child. He did not father this child. He adopted this child to be his own. This child needed a human father to own him as his son. Joseph's family line is an important part of the story. He was David's son, we read in verse 20. Joseph was able to trace his family tree all the way back to King David, the king that all other kings would be compared to up to this moment in time. And Joseph was an important piece of this puzzle. Now again, look at this story from Joseph's perspective, through human lenses, through human eyes. He could have said no. He could have turned away. He could have said, I don't want this. Like, this is not how I want to live. While there were other men out there, God the Father, though, had chosen Joseph to name and raise the child who would be Emmanuel, God with us. Dr. Leon Morris points out that Joseph needed a name. He needed to be named by this child and by Joseph, that this child needed to be named by an earthly father in order to have legal status of being adopted. Joseph had to own him. He had to own Mary as his wife, and he had to own Jesus as his son. He had to lay claim to them. He had to say yes to them, to both of them, in order for Jesus to have legal status as a descendant of David. And his naming Jesus was his adopting him and giving him this status. He did this in order to shake off, and all this happened so that Joseph would shake off any hesitation to follow through on this marriage. We read about this, and when the angel says, "Do not fear to take Mary as your wife," all hesitation to follow through on taking Mary as his wife needed to be shaken off. All fear, all hesitation, all resistance. And so the angel says, "Do not fear to take Mary as your wife." And this is how Joseph's line of duty was made clear. It was not of his choosing. It was a plan hatched by God. And he needed to know that this was a plan hatched by God. It was a plan that would make Joseph's life difficult at times. We read later on, in the gospel, we read in John chapter 8, that there were people that gossiped around that Jesus was born of fornication, that he was born out of wedlock. So we know that this would created this reputation around their family with a little bit of scandal. There were question marks over all this. And you could believe that he had been miraculously brought into the world through the Holy Spirit, or he was born of fornication. He had two stories to believe. And the Pharisees, who did not want to believe that he was the Messiah, the fulfillment of Isaiah 7, they believed that he was born of fornication. This would be a problem for Joseph. There might have been people that didn't want to do business with him. Of course, he had to flee to Egypt because of his son. There's a lot of complications that would come into Joseph's life because of taking on this responsibility and duty. But again, this was a plan hatched by God. And ultimately, however difficult it was for Joseph, a responsibility to bear, there were lots of good reasons for him to obey the Lord here and take Mary and to take Jesus. Ultimately, God was initiating the the first stages of a divine invasion of the world where he would save people from their sins. And this was the very reason that Jesus' name was chosen. His name means the Lord saves, God saves. In verses 24 through 25, we find that Joseph accepted and was faithful to this duty that the Lord had brought into his life. It says in verse 24, when Jesus woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This was a different plan than Joseph would have taken, but there was no other way. There was no other way for redemption to be accomplished. But for a virgin to give birth into a family that came from the line of David. It was this way that Jesus could become a king and a priest in Israel. This was the way. There was no other way. And so Joseph's life was altered by God's strange but awesome and glorious and grace-filled promises that he brought into the world through Christ. Now let's shift gears for a second. What about you? Like, where are you even in the story? Now, we're not Joseph and we're not Mary. There's only ever going to be one Joseph and one Mary, right? Jesus isn't going to be born to a virgin ever again. This is a forever thing. But what about us? What about you and what about me? Are we in the story? Do we get a song in Christmas? Well, in order to answer that question, let's turn to this theme here of that God doesn't always give us the life that we would have imagined. What about you? Is your life the life that you imagined it to be 20 years ago? Is your life the life that you imagined it to be, you know, 10 years ago or even a couple years ago? Are you on a course that's far different than what you planned it to be? Are there responsibilities that God has just dropped in your lap and nobody else can do it? It's like, this is for you to bear, this responsibility. So let me ask you, what makes the difference in shouldering these responsibilities that come to us sometimes in the turn of events in our lives that we don't anticipate? What makes the difference? Well, I would say that all the difference is made when you really appreciate Jesus, when you really appreciate the Christ. In other words, you can't shoulder the responsibilities that come in life, even with a change of course that you didn't expect, without the kind of clarity that Joseph had and the kind of clarity that Mary had about who they are and what is needed and what is required, and especially in its connection to Christ. What was the core motivation of Joseph to accept the responsibilities of taking this young woman to be his wife and to own this child as his son? Well, for Joseph, it was that people needed saving. The people of God needed saving. And he had chosen Joseph and he had chosen Mary to be the earthly parents of this saving one. Joseph had been appointed by God to be a part of the plan to save the world by sending God the Son to save sinners. And this is a trustworthy saying deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners from their sins. He came into the world to transfer us from the kingdom of darkness that we are a part of and even that we are building within us and to transfer us into another kingdom, the kingdom of God's beloved Son. He's transferring us from our ignorance about God and into a world in which we are reconciled to God. He's transferring us out of a world where we're alienated from God into a world where we're His very own beloved. And all of our lives, all of our purposes, all of our hopes, all of our dreams must be aligned with this. And if they are, then we, like Joseph, will become highly motivated to do as the Lord commands. If we are not in sync with what God is doing in the world, what His purposes are in the world, what His providence is, what His decrees, what all of they are aiming at, if we are out of sync with that, then we will be like we'll be like a boat that is adrift at sea. But if we grasp this, we appreciate this, we trust in this, we love it, and our lives are harnessed to it, well, we're going to have all the purpose and direction in our lives that we could ever wish for. And even when life throws us curveballs, when God throws us curveballs, we will be harnessed to His ultimate purposes, and we will start to even realize that some of our story and some of the unanticipated responsibilities, some of the unanticipated way that our life goes can serve His purposes and serve His ultimate purposes in continuing to see men and women and children reconciled to God in Christ. Now, I also want you to notice the direct intersection that all this played with marriage and family and even Joseph and Mary's sexuality. Do you see how closely in contact marriage and family and their sexuality came in contact with Christ and His purposes and His advent, His coming into the world? We're often tempted to treat our religion like it's, a get-out-of-jail-free card, but and make sure that it doesn't come in contact with fiancés and family or something like that. But the fact is that our salvation from sin in Christ puts us on a path that directly links all of our personal lives to Jesus. Just look at Joseph and Mary. Salvation was at this very center of their marriage and their expression as sexual beings that God had created in His image. Notice how Joseph did not treat his wife's body, he didn't treat his body or his wife's body as his own, as like a primary means to satisfy himself. He didn't use his family. His family wasn't a way for him to express himself and his personality and his ego. All of it was submitted to God. He understood that all of it was God's. And so the timing when he would be able to sleep with his wife was dictated by Christ. And Joseph and Mary were people who understood that their lives were not their own. Their individual self-expression, their sexuality was not determined by some inner compass that was divorced from God. All of it was God's. Even what Joseph named his son was directed by God's saving plans. God had His fingerprints on everything. And I hope you understand this as well, that you are not your own. Like the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, you're bought with a price. You're not your own. That we are called to glorify God with our bodies, which we see Joseph doing, even when he may have been tempted to say, God, why did you take me on this course? There were times that, certainly in Joseph's life, when he didn't understand exactly what God was up to. Why are we fleeing to Egypt? Exactly. Remind me, Lord. But he chose to glorify God with the whole course of his life by submitting himself to the plans of God. And this means that if you're saved by Christ, you're no longer your own, but you must glorify God in who you date, in who you're engaged to, in your sexuality, and in the path of life that you take, even what you name your kids. Joseph was called by God to a life that he did not plan, but his humility before God, the God of his fathers, led him to exercise faith when the Lord called him to shoulder challenging duties that would ultimately be a great blessing to the whole world. If we don't learn to exercise faith in God when we're faced with unimagined responsibilities, then our life stories will not be like Joseph's or Mary's. But we too are called to accept God's commands and challenges as a part of walking the path of Christ's salvation. Now, isn't this what you want, Christian? Do you want salvation from your sins? Do you want other sinners to know the grace of God? Do you want these things more than your agenda? Do you want these things more than your own comfort? Do you want these things more than your own reputation? Living by faith in God is not easy, as Joseph and Mary found out, but it is much better than staying on our own course and agenda and missing out on the promises of God and the opportunities that he brings to us as we walk humbly with him. Let's pray together. So, Father, we ask you now that you will help us. Help us to see the glory of Emmanuel, God with us. As we approach this week of celebration, as we celebrate the virgin birth of Christ, we ask you that you will help us, like Joseph, to hear from your word, your messengers, your angelic hosts even, and be fully submitted and on board with your mission of salvation. And Father, we ask you to help us to have our wills and desires and affections and all conformed to yours. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.